For those of you who are visiting, I'm not the normal speaker. Last week I was informed that I wasn't dressed properly. So today I tried to straighten that up, but I don't feel too much different than Prince Harry, because he got called because he didn't have a tie on when he met some of the World War II veterans. And, of course, my son would say that I'm not dressed properly today either, but what's he know? He's only a Ph.D. So, but anyway, this morning we have a little object lesson, and just take one, read there. And don't think that we're going to have a lesson about wood or anything like that, but I wanted to show it as a, I think we'll see what we have, how it pertains to our daily life. Still need three more. Okay. Does everybody have? Whoops, excuse me. Yeah. You still short? Okay. Most of you know I work in an industry that deals with this all the time. But what I'd like to show, if you were to go into a lumber store, whether it's Judd Lumber, Menards, Home Depot, Lowe's, you name it, unless you're buying treated lumber, 95% of it comes from Canada. This is all part of the NAFTA agreement from back in the 90s. And please don't get me started on the NAFTA agreement. But anyway, but I'd like you to look at your piece of wood. And there's some items on here that we'll refer to later on. First of all, there is a symbol on that. There's three different symbols out there. One of them looks like it's an arrow with a mushroom on one side and an arrow on the other side. That means that lumber came from Quebec, the province of Quebec. Another one of the symbols that you have, it looks like all kinds of things interlocked together. And that one came from, oh, Cindy, you didn't get one then, did you? That means it came from British Columbia. And then the last one, someone here has along the side, it'll say MLB. And that means it came from the Maritime Provinces. But anyway, it's all from Canada. That's what the symbol is. Also on there, there is a number. Usually a two or three digit number. And that is the number of the mill that particular piece of wood came from. In Canada, over 95% of all the lumber is owned by the government. So we don't have private sawmills that we get our lumber from. It's all government, Canadian government. So that's what the number means. Then there is a three letters separated with a dash. SPF stands for spruce, pine, or fir. That's three different species that someone between the United States government and the Canadian government thought we ought to use. Anyway, it stands for all the way from the black spruce to the balsam fir. Balsam fir, if you can remember back when they had the 5- and 10-cent stores, that's what they made those little airplanes that floated nice. Completely different, but supposedly it meets all the structural requirements. Anyway, you pick up a board that's made out of fir, you can tell it differs in the weight. Then there is a designator that says KDH-HT. That means it's kiln dried, heat treated. In other words, to get rid of all the buggies that don't come across the line. Then there is a designator of what the lumber can be used for. And some of you have an MSR, which stands for machine stress rated, which is the best. Some of you have a number two, a big, large number two. And some of you have stud marked on it in green. And that tells us when we're building what that particular material can be used for. We'll get to that later. And then one other thing that's on some of them, you'll have a NLGA, which means National Lumberman's Grading Association, or it'll have a 1-inch quarter REE, meaning that the edges are not square, they're rounded to quarter inch. Now, enough of the information about what is on this designator. I'd like to entitle today's lesson, God's Grade Stamp on Us. And that's what that is considered. All those markings on there are considered a grade stamp. How do we acquire God's grade stamp on us? Everyone's in the world. In other words, just like the trees in the forest. But yet, when God puts his stamp on us, we're grade stamped. And how do we get this grade stamp? First of all, we hear the word. In Acts chapter 13, now some of these scriptures are a little bit different than if you've been in the church forever, you know the standard five fingers and all the different scriptures. Some of these scriptures may be a little bit unfamiliar with that particular reading. But Acts 13:44, and the next Sabbath day came all the whole city together to hear the word of God. This was when Paul was at Antioch on his first missionary journey, he and Barnabas. After we hear the word, we believe that word. In Acts chapter 18, verse 8, and now he's in a second missionary journey with Silas, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Repent of our sins, in chapter 17 of Acts, verse 30. And the times of ignorance God winked at, now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And then in Romans 10:10, we learn that confession is made with the mouth. Acts 2:38, we are baptized, and then we live a life according to God's word. But we have a grade stamp now. We are called God's people. Christians, whatever you want to say, but we are God's people, and we have a stamp on it. Now, from the Bible, we read about some great people. People that you are really familiar with. Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Solomon, the prophets, Peter, and Paul. Everybody knows they're the pillars, if you want to call it, the structure behind God's word. But did you know, and a lot of people don't, and this is what's so unique about our Bible, is each of those people had a flaw. Noah, after the flood, planted a vineyard, got so drunk that he was naked, and his children had to cover him. Abraham, He lied about his wife. She's not my wife, she's my sister. Because she was beautiful and they would take her. Moses, he was a murderer. He killed an Egyptian. And then he was so afraid he had to run away, so he was a runaway. And then even after he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, he became mad at God. And he says, I'm going to strike this rock instead of touching it. David and Solomon, they had wife troubles. The prophets, one of them had to marry a prostitute. Others were only a shepherd or people who took care of fig trees. Peter, he denied Christ and cut a man's ear off. Paul, he put Christians to death. What I wanted to show, and so unique about the scriptures, is that even the leaders show that they have flaws in them. Just like the wood, the difference between the MSR and the stud usually is because they have a bunch of knots in them. And knots, of course, are from branches, but anyway, that's another thing altogether. But each of these pillars had some bad faults. But yet we see all of these leaders were used to build God's kingdom. What about some of the lesser known people that God used? Just in the New Testament alone, we find the eunuch in chapter 8 of Acts, verse 39. After he was baptized, he went on his way rejoicing. And again, our scriptures are so unique, we do not hear anything else about this man except that he went on his way rejoicing. He went back to Ethiopia. Cornelius. We mentioned him last week, but in Acts chapter 10, he had given alms and his prayers were up as a memorial to God. That's the only thing we hear about Cornelius after he and his household were baptized. We don't hear anything more about him. He was a Roman leader. A leader of Roman soldiers, but we don't know what happened to him, except that we know he continued on with his work. About Dorcas, or some called Tabitha, she was known for her good works and her alms deeds, as the Bible says. But after that, we don't know anything more about Dorcas. After Peter brought her back to life. Eunice, she was the mother of Timothy. She had a foreigner, if you want to call, as a husband. Their house wasn't united. One was a Greek and one was a Christian. And Lois, the grandmother, does this say anything about our extended family that modern psychologists use today? The grandmother had influence on Eunice, who had influence on Timothy, and we know that Timothy went about with Paul even and was a great leader in the church. And we could go on about how God uses all types of people in his kingdom. The grade stamp, we come back to that. In Acts chapter 10, verse 35, and this is in reference at the end of Peter and Cornelius, Acts 10:35. And remember, Peter is a Jew. He still is of the opinion that he's not supposed to talk to foreigners. But in verse 35, he makes a statement. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable with him. In every nation. If we turn to Paul's letter to the first or to the Corinthians, the first letter, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 26. Now, normally, speakers don't read a very lengthy passage, but I think this is apropos for what we're talking about here, about the difference people and the different things that can be done in God's kingdom once we have the grade stamp. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to others the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by the same Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have all made to drink of the one into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as he hath pleased him. And if they were one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more these members of the bodies, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow much abundant honor as to the part that lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with him, or one member be honored, all the members are honored and rejoice with him. Some of the things that were mentioned there about the miracles and the tongues and things like that were passed away with the apostles. But it still gives the idea that every part of the body is necessary. When we get the age that several of us are in here, we know when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. And we have problems with that. But just as we were mentioning back to our example about the grade stamp, we may not be the person who is the support beam of the house, but yet we can be the support to our family that needs to stay strong. We may not be the floor joists, but we can be the strength that make our life and those around us keep level and strong for all of us. We may not be the rafters that hold the roof, but we can be the person who offers shelter in the time of need for our family or others who need to come in out of the cold or who are hungry. We may not be the door frame or the window frame, But we can be the frame that stands straight and square for our family and for others that may see us. We may not be the trim work, but we can do the things that make life beautiful for us and others. When God puts His grade stamp on us, we become useful in God's kingdom. Each of us here this morning can become a useful part of God's work. In our families, whether there's the immediate family or the extended family, it's very necessary to be strong. In school, whether we're, I think there's only one person in here that's in school, but there may be some that are older. Do what is right. That means no cheat sheets. We're all familiar with those, but did it really accomplish anything having that cheat sheet? At work, do what is right, even though it may not come out to some people that it's right, but in your heart you know you did what was right for the Lord's work. That's individually. As a congregation, our outreach, how we help others, and how we make things functional. When we have a church facility like this, most of us take for granted that we come, it's going to look nice, it's going to have air conditioning in the summer, heat in the winter. We're not some of us when we walk in here in the middle of the winter and it's 40 degrees in here, like it was this last winter. But anyway, the little things around, the trim work, if you will, it's all part that we can do. And it all starts by having God's grade stamp on us. We can do that today. If you do not have God's grade stamp on you, that is available today. As we mentioned earlier, by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. So the grade stamp analogy that you wondered probably where I was going with when I handed out these little pieces of wood. But that little piece of stamp there tells us that it can be used for something. And when God puts His grade stamp on us, we can be used. And this morning, Bill had picked a song earlier today that I didn't. All of us know that the song leader is supposed to get with the person speaking to pick out the songs. And sometimes it's not real helpful when you give them a topic. But one of the ones that we sang this morning earlier, number 822, the second verse, born of a spirit with life from above into God's family, divine. With the Spirit, we have the stamp. The one that He chose for the invitation this morning, where He leads me, I will follow. Sometimes, even at my age, I'll lie in bed at night and wonder, what am I supposed to be doing for the Lord? What am I supposed to be doing? Again, the grade stamp is on us. The availability is out there. And as this song suggests, where He leads me, I will follow. So this morning, if you're in need of having God's grade stamp, it is time. Or if you want to renew and have trouble with God's grade stamp, what to be used for, is also time that we can come and share and help you in that. So this morning, shall we stand and sing?